Good morning and welcome to Black Book Talk. The following program originally aired May 5th, 2011, when Senator Avell Gortley introduced her memoir, Remembering the Power of Words, The Life of an Oregon Activist, Legislator, and Community Leader. We rebroadcast it August 1st, 2024, when Kamala Harris became the first Black woman nominated to be President of the United States. We are airing again today to honor the memory of our hero, Avell Gortley, the first Black woman to win a seat in the Oregon legislature. A true servant leader, both in and out of office, a truly phenomenal woman. Good morning and welcome to the May edition of Black Book Talk. I am Patricia Welch, the Library Lady, and today I will be talking to Professor Avell Louise Gortley of Portland State, but many of you will and will always continue to know her as Senator Avell Gortley. Avell, welcome to Black Book Talk.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Now, I know that you've been around to a variety of locations talking about your new book, Remembering the Power of Words, but there's still so many people who haven't been introduced to this book, and we're so happy that we're able to do it today.
Thank you.
Okay, the full title is Remembering the Power of Words, The Life of an Oregon Activist, Legislator, and Community Leader, and you are indeed all of these things. But tell me something. Why did you decide to find the book, and quite frankly, how did you find the time to write this book, because you have been and continue to be a very busy woman?
Well, I am so grateful to my colleague here at Portland State University, Dr. Patricia Schechter. Patricia is in the history department, and we met, I think it's about 4 years ago now, and she became interested in the fact that I had gifted all of my papers to the Portland State University Millar Library and to the Black Studies Department, a joint gift of the papers. As she began to work her way through the gift of papers and materials, and as we both began to assign students to the task of organizing the archive, I shared with her, with Patricia, my just sense of urgency, great urgency, about wanting to share some of my story, wanting that I'm at a place in my life now, Patricia, where it's about urgency. It's about passing on the knowledge, passing on the information, passing on all that I have learned to the generation coming along, and especially those who have an interest in public service and who want to know something more about servant leadership, and not just politics, but again, service and servant leadership. And I want to do this, I am doing this with a firm, my own firm belief that public service is a noble calling and profession.
I agree with you 100%. As a public employee, a librarian, I am always happy to tell people,
yeah,
I am a public servant, and what better job could you have?
Absolutely.
But you know something? You have been doing this. You've been a servant leader for a long time. Tell us a bit more about your life before you were Senator Gortley, because I think that a lot of people knew you, but a number of people didn't until you were seen on a statewide, you know, level. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what brought you.
Well, you know, I've been living a very blessed life. I love expressing it that way. I'm a product of Portland in Oregon, a product of this community, meaning born and raised here. My parents came to Oregon at different times. On my mother's side, the family came out of Texas and Alabama in the 20s. My father and his mother came out of Texas in 1936. Mom and Dad met here in Portland, married young. Dad was 20, Mom was all of 17. They came at that time of the so-called Black Migration, you know, mm-hmm. that brought all the that great number of black folks out of the South and to the North and other places in the nation where there were employment opportunities. So, you know, mom and dad, my father worked on the railroad, Union Pacific Railroad, as a Pullman porter for over 40 years until he retired in the 70s. My paternal grandmother worked in the shipyards. Both grandmothers did domestic work, meaning working in the homes of wealthy white folks living in the West Hills and Laurelhurst. My mom worked out of the home sometimes as a grocery clerk, and my mother and father worked hard, like their generation did, as community builders. That wave of community builders who were able to find a home, buy a home, mm-hmm. and that's another story in it of its own. In that, at the time my mom and dad purchased their home in 1949, they couldn't do it outright because the area was redlined there on North Williams Avenue, and Dad had a friend who happened to be Jewish. This is the irony in the story, who brought their property and then turned it over to my mom and dad. And that's not an uncommon story time. Not an uncommon story. So, and then my sister and brother and I still own the family property there on North Williams, and we make it available as a rental to people whose lives are in transition. But I grew up with a mother and dad who were hardworking, working class, mother, grandmothers active in women's clubs, church, different organizations in church. My grandmother, Alberta Louise Randolph, was a founder of the Harriet Tubman Club in the 1920s, which is a part of the Oregon Association of Colored Women's Clubs, and that is an affiliation of the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs. So there's this really rich, wonderful history of the club women's movement here in Portland and Oregon that my family has been a part of. And you know this, Patricia, that the motto of the Oregon Association of Colored Women's Clubs is lifting as we climb.
That's right.
And so I grew up with that. I grew up watching that, and I grew up with that whole idea internalized.
And you know something? Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing, though, is that you had a very strong foundation. It was
there
was a very strong and supportive community, and your family was grounded in it, and you were. co-host O.B. Hill just walked into the studio.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'm told that the third co-producer and host, Emma Jackson Ford, is with us remotely. She's online. Hey, Emma. She's online, but she's not.
I am.
Okay. So, see, Abel, you draw us in for wherever we are. I do want to say, for those who might have just joined us at the moment, Abel has given us, like, the first part of her life and just the very strong foundation that she and her family had in the community. So now we're going to come up. We're still talking about what it means to be a public servant, to be a servant leader. So kind of continue to tell us how you got to where you were, and then, you know, LB and Emma, chime in where you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I want to make clear about the book and how the book came about is that it's a result of, it's an oral memoir, and it's the result of over 22 hours of interviews with Patricia Schechter. That resulted in over a 400-page manuscript that was then edited down to the book that you have in front of you. Going back in time to about 1991, when I was working at the Portland House of Emoja as program director, I found myself receiving an invitation and answering a call. The invitation came from the community, specifically the Black Leadership Conference at that time, and also from a woman named Thalia Zapatos, who had worked on Barbara Roberts' campaign for governor. And the call, the invitation and call I received was to look at the possibility of running for a seat in the State House. It was a seat that was about to become vacant with the departure of Ron Cease. And it was Carl Talton, I give him credit to this day, Carl Talton and the Black Leadership Conference that really encouraged me and gave me a quality of support that convinced me to run for office. Because at first when I got the call, when I heard the invitation, it wasn't something that I had ever thought I would do. I've been very active in community-based organizations, the Black United Front, Urban League, American Friends Service Committee, had been comfortable in background kind of roles, but I didn't see myself as this out front public kind of person that would be required to run for office and, you know, hopefully serve in the legislature. But again, there was just a wonderful, wonderful quality of support from community and, of course, my family. After returning from a it was called Women of Color as Warriors of Light spiritual retreat in 91, summer of 91. After coming back from that retreat, I got on the phone and called something over 50 people and asked them to help me think about this call, this invitation I had received. And every person was encouraging, and they said things like, "We've been waiting for you to do this. We where do we send the check? You know, how do we get involved with the campaign?" And things took off from there. And I had a wonderful campaign manager, Lucius Hicks, who was a former NAACP chair and president and active in the community. I had people who were involved with the Black United Front who worked on the campaign, my sister, folks from the different community-based organizations that I've been a part of.
And, you know, excuse me, Eva, I don't want to interrupt, but I do want to make sure that people get this. One thing is very clear. You came from the community.
Yes.
Were not imposed, and you really did answer the call. And we are so glad that you did. One of the things I do want to do is sort of pull back and see if Emma and OB have questions, you know, before we go on a break. I mean, we have a few minutes before, but I just want to make sure they have the chance.
Well, I wanted to ask this question the other night when I heard you read. Is there something that happened at school, something a teacher said that made you know that when the call came that, yes, you could answer the call?
A lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. I think the conversations I had with the late Reverend John Jackson helped me get there. Conversations with my sister, who had worked as a legislative assistant to then Representative Margaret Carter, that helped me. They say that preparation meets opportunity. Preparation meets opportunity. And what I recognize then and celebrate to this day is that I am a product of the community, not political not party politics. And I was well prepared by my community to serve.
Did you talk about your schooling before I came on?
No, we haven't.
See, Emma's always going to ask from that teacher's perspective.
I attended grade schools in Portland, the old Highland Grade School, which is now Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. Elementary, and also Boise, which before the boundary change, and then later Girls Polytechnic High School, which no longer exists. I had two wonderful teachers at Girls Poly whose names I remember to this day. Mrs. Matthews, my English teacher, who encouraged me to read everything. Mrs. Eleanor Matthews. And then Mr. Gilman, Mesa Gilman, encouraged me and classmates to participate in a march. Was a protest that occurred when the four little girls were murdered in Alabama.
Hello, Avail. How are you doing? This is OB Hill.
OB, how are you?
I'm just fine. Just thinking back on those college years, could you elaborate on where you went to school and the information you have in the book on that?
Well, you know, I had quite an experience at Portland State University in the early 70s, and I had a rich and wonderful experience through the Black Studies Department. I would say that that was my first really deep engagement with Black literature, and I had amazing and wonderful professors. There was one in particular, Dr. Eno Ukeji, who was from Nigeria, who invited me to participate in an organization called Operation Crossroads Africa. That led to my first opportunity to travel to West Africa in the summer of 72, and a summer experience with other students from around the country, helping to build a maternity hospital in a small village in Nigeria. And I had, I also had wonderful experiences on the PSU campus with students, including yourself, OB. And I think back on, I was at PSU at a time that came just after the Black Studies program, then program, was founded on this campus. And I'm talking about over 40 years ago. In fact, we're in our 40th anniversary year this year. And this Black Studies program came about as a result of the agitation, the demands, the advocacy, the championing of O.B. Hill and Dennis Payne and Cottrell White, and help me with some of the names. I don't want to forget anybody, O.B. But we have a Black Studies program, and the only one in the Pacific Northwest that has lasted this long because of that student activism. And we're in a time now where we're fighting for our survival because of budget cuts, because of the failure of the institution, I'm speaking of PSU, to invest and claim over a period of time and value, fully value, this department. You know, we're facing a critical time. You know, we're not going to go away, because we're not going to let that happen as a community. I'm confident about that. But the university needs to hear that there's value in Black Studies, that there's value in this department remaining as a part of this institution that is supposedly is the largest and most international institution in our statewide system of higher education. Can't claim that without having a vibrant and vital Black Studies program. Can't claim it.
And we know that if you are there, that's going to be the case. You know, we started the program with a selection from Fela, Anikilapo Kuti's Fela's London Scene, in honor of the fact that you had traveled internationally. Unfortunately, our program is drawing to an end now, but one thing is very clear. One, you have to come back. This book covers too many things for just one program. Two, you need to write another book.
I'm working on it.
And three, we are just grateful for you being you. Thank you so much, Professor Gordley.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you so much.
And Fela returns.
OB and I have stayed around a little bit because we want to talk about what is happening now in Portland in the book world. I'm going to share some books that I've read. I guess we're both going to share books that we're reading or have read that we want, we think, you know, you'll enjoy this summer. And also mention of one or two things that are happening around town. So, OB, You want to start this off?
Well, this summer in Portland, there are a lot of activities going on. Just recently here, the Jazz Festival down at Cathedral Park was very, very interesting, as well as others that are scheduled throughout the year. Down on Waterfront Park, of course, there's a lot of activities. Just recently here, the Summer Olympics started in Paris, France. So there's just a lot of things that are going on now during this particular election year.
This is true. And of course, I have to say, a lot of great things are happening at the library. And I just want to mention a few. There's one called Silly Storytime for Families Outdoors. Now, this is going to take place at Multnomah County's University of Oregon pop-up. It's in the library at what used to be Concordia College and has now been taken over by U of M. Actually, there are going to be several of these, but the first one will be Wednesday, August 7th from 11:15 to noon. And this is a day to be as silly as you want to. They're saying you can come with your clothes backwards or your best kooky hairdo, however you want to show up. Weather permitting, Silly Story Time will be held on the lawn outside of Multnomah County Library at the University pop-up. Otherwise, they'll be inside, and it's a beautiful, beautiful building. But I think it's just a great chance to have fun, listen to an interesting story time. So again, we welcome you to that. And if you want any other information on anything that I'm telling you about, please call the library, and they will be more than happy to fill you in. Okay, on August 10th, at the Capitol Hill Library from 2 to 4 p.m. is going to be Somali Henna and Crafts Day. Come learn how to make your own beaded bracelet, try freestyle painting, and enjoy the experience of henna. Make connections with the community in Capitol Hill. All ages are welcome to this event. Again, Saturday, August 10th, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Capitol Hill Library. And then same day, same time actually, so okay, you have your choice of which you'd like. At the Gresham Library, they're having Honoring Black Heritage Through Art Day. And the description says, explore various techniques used by African Black artists while incorporating your own style, led by artist Azua Kaplis. I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, and if I'm not, please forgive me. I'll try it again, Azaria. Maybe it's Azaria Cables. Actually, that means you really do have to go to this program and find out for sure. You have to register in advance. So go online and look up Honoring Black Heritage Through Art. And again, that's Saturday, August 10th, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Gresham Library. And just for fun, clowning around with Nikki Brown Clown, Tuesday, August 13th, 2 to 2:45, at the Holgate Library. Portland's favorite clown is back with a story time that is a culturally creative blend of picture books infused with sounds and activities for all. All right, let's see. Black Story Time Hip Hop Summer Jam. So we got something for everybody at the library. This is gonna be a Black Story Time series celebrating African and African American heritage and culture, children from birth to ages 6 with their favorite adult or family member. We'll have fun with books and stories, songs, a craft, and movement activities in a positive and affirming environment. Black Story Time builds language and literacy skills your child needs to be ready for kindergarten. And Black Story Time, not necessarily just the hip hop one, but that's offered at a variety of locations. So you wanna just check that out. There's also something called Sisters Doll, a doll making workshop. Oh, that sounds great. I want that. This workshop encourages emotional healing and happiness in young and mature women. Connect to your inner child while creating a decorative healing doll that memorializes your inner and outer beauty and reminds you of your experiences, magnificence, power, and perfect purpose. Led by the luminous Shalonda Menifee, for tweens and up. So we have something for the little ones, we have something for the middle ones. Okay, that's it. But OB, let's talk about what books do we love? What are we recommending to our readers and our listeners?
Within the context of music, I have a real interesting book that was published in 2002 called Jump Town, The Golden Years of Portland Jazz, 1942 to 1957. Very, very interesting book. A lot of nice graphics, shows who came to town and when back during this time period. And I highly recommend this book. It has a lot of pictures of nightclubs and places that used to be functioning with various jazz musicians from across the nation on the what they used to refer to as the Chitlin Circuit. Very, very good book, and I recommend it reading for everybody.
Okay, well, I just have, like, I guess I just want to mention a number of books and not necessarily go into detail, but for those of you who are familiar with Questlove, I know him as being the drummer for the Roots, and also, the Roots are the house band for the Jimmy Fallon Show. But he is quite the scholar, and he has a book out called Hip Hop is History. And this six-time Grammy Award-winning musician, Academy Award-winning filmmaker, drummer, DJ, producer, and director has put out this book that is basically the history of hip-hop, 50 years of that. So, you know, if you like Questlove and you love hip-hop, then I think this is great. Tiffany Haddish has a new book called I Curse You With Joy, and she's been on the TV circuit and other areas promoting it, so you might have seen her. This is autobiographical and basically talks about her upbringing and how she got to be where she is. Anything else you want to share, OB?
A library is a very, very good source for various types of information, out, including books. In St. John's Weekly, I come here to pick up newspapers, local newspapers, one of which is celebrating its 54th year. Established in 1970, the Portland Observer is really an interesting newspaper. Just looking at the July 24th, for instance, edition, you see where Vice President Harris gets Biden's nod. Also, Loretta Smith is running for city council for the third time, and she's one of three Black women in the race. So during this election year, it's really interesting to keep up on what's happening in your local community. And the Portland Observer, as well as the Scanner, are very, very good newspapers to read.
Well, we've taken you back into the Black Book Talk vault for the program on Avell Gortley, and we hope we've given you some up-to-date information on things that you can do to enjoy the rest of your summer. This is the end of the August edition of Black Book Talk. This is Patricia Welch, librarian E. Meredith, saying see you in September.
And O.B. Hill, community historian.
All right. Good reading to you.